Chapter 9. The next morning, I went out into the backyard after breakfast, and I continued out the back gate and looked over the back lot of my property again. Like most of Ohio, it was a fairly hilly area, so the land rolled into the ever-present tree line in the distance. I gave some thought to what I would do with both this lot and the one that belonged to the millers next door. Ibsith wanted a garden, and I could feed a small army with this much land. Local ordinances probably forbade having farm animals in town, but there was some appeal to the idea of getting a couple of dogs, or four. I'd always been partial to wolfhounds, but I could also get and breed dogs that could help me in the gloom. That was an interesting idea. I pulled out my phone, looked up the number of my lawyer/CPA, and hit the call button. As I listened to the dial tone, I looked over at the plot of land behind the miller's fence and wondered how much of it belonged to them.
Travis Meyer's office?
A matronly voice on the other end answered.
This is Alice. How may I help you?
Hi, Alice. I said warmly into the phone. This is Eddie Hill. Is Mr. Meyer free?
I'm sure he will be for you.
The plump secretary replied.
Hold for just a moment and I'll find out.
I smiled to myself as the hold music came on. Alice was a very sweet woman and reminded me of every teacher or my friends' moms I'd ever met growing up. She was the quintessential Midwestern woman. The hold music stopped a moment later, and I heard the click as I was transferred. Then there was a brief ring before Meyer picked up the line.
Hello, Mr. Hill.
Travis's calm, ever-professional voice said into the receiver.
How are you this morning?
I'm wonderful, I said as I looked out over the hills. But I've some questions. I think you'd be qualified to answer.
Ask away,
Meyer replied, and I heard a slight exhale of breath that led me to believe the lawyer had taken a seat. I was thinking about buying some real estate, I said as I glanced over my shoulder at the miller's place.
Oh?
Meyer asked, but he didn't sound surprised.
Property is almost always a good investment. Are you planning on selling your current residence?
No. I shook my head, even though the CPA couldn't see me. I'm thinking about expanding. There's a rumor that people next door might be selling, and if they do, I'd like to buy their house.
Sounds very manageable, Travis said. But I would caution you to wait until next year to make such a large purchase, especially if you're not selling your current property to help pay for the new one. You don't want to draw too much attention to your finances before the coming tax season.
You know more about all that than I do, I conceded. But it's not every day a next-door neighbor might decide to sell their house. Is there any way for us to be prepared to make an offer, just in case they do sell?
Perhaps, the lawyer allowed in a thoughtful tone. Do you know their asking price?
No, I said. But this morning I did a little looking around online at properties for sale in the area, so I'd guess their home will be somewhere north of $200,000. But that also depends on how much of the lot behind the house they own, and how many bedrooms there are. Based on the size and number of windows, I'm guessing at least 3 bedrooms.
Sounds very nice, Meyer hummed. Well, I could get the exact information from the county assessor's office and let you know before I start preparing the funds for a possible offer. If you still want to move forward, I would even go as far as to recommend putting in an offer before the house goes on the market, if you're comfortable with that. Just make sure you take a look inside before anything is signed.
Really? I asked. Just like that? Wouldn't they want to go through a realtor?
If I was their lawyer, I would 100% recommend they go through a realtor.
Meyer laughed dryly.
But if they don't, things would be better for us. Although, they would avoid a number of potential fees, and they wouldn't have other offers to potentially bring up the price. But with your background in construction, you'd be able to spot any water damage in the house, or other issues that would normally require an inspector. And a smart realtor would know how to make the buyer pay for such services and repairs too if they're good.
That all sounds kind of ghoulish, I said as Meyer described the intricacies of real estate to me.
You have to be a special kind of bastard to make it in this business, Mr. Hill, the lawyer said without humor. But that's why you pay me, isn't it?
I suppose it is, I snorted. Well, get the money ready, I guess, but if I'm going to make an offer, I want it to be a fair one.
Of course, Mr. Hill,
Travis said in a cool tone.
Is there anything else you needed to discuss today?
Yeah, I said as I remembered something I'd wanted to take care of. But I'm not sure if it's the kind of thing you could help with.
I'm listening,
the lawyer replied.
Well, I paused and tried to think of the best way to put it. I have a live-in girlfriend, and I've been thinking about marrying her. But the problem is, she's not from here. Where is she from? Does it matter? I asked as I started to pace. I guess it doesn't, Meyer said. But I assume you're asking me about it because the normal avenues to citizenship aren't open, for one reason or another. Otherwise, marrying the young lady would be the solution. Pretty much, I replied. She doesn't have a birth certificate, like, at all. So, Travis said slowly, you mean there is no birth certificate in existence? Not that it would just be a matter of getting one from the hospital or country where she came from? Exactly, I confirmed. I heard Travis grumble over the phone before a considerable pause. As your lawyer, I would have to counsel you not to become involved in anything legal. I understand, I sighed. I knew it was a shot in the dark. For instance, Meyer interrupted me, if someone mentioned they could find or sell you a social security number of someone who had died in another state that maybe didn't have any close family or a criminal record, plus some legal name change paperwork, I would have to tell you not to consider it. Okay, I said, and I squinted my eyes as I tried to discern if Meyer was getting at what I thought he was getting at. And if someone suggested to you that a common acquaintance, the lawyer continued, like Owen McElfresh, for example, were able to obtain such identity documents, well, I'd have to counsel you to not speak to such persons further. Oh, I replied as I fully caught on. Well, I'm glad we cleared that up. Thanks, Mr. Meyer. Any time, Travis said in his usual neutral tone. Is there anything else? Nope. I shook my head again. I think we've covered everything. Fantastic. I'll let you know as soon as the money's ready. Have a good day, Mr. Hill. You too, I replied, and then I hung up my cell and walked back into the house.
Is everything well, my king?
Ibsith said when I walked in. The elven woman was on the floor in front of the record player, and she was laying on her stomach and propped up on her elbows with her feet up in the air behind her. The cover art of a Dolly Parton record laid in front of her, and I had to smile when I looked down at the blue-skinned woman. If it weren't for her long, graceful ears and strangely colored skin, my wife would have looked like something out of an old-fashioned pin-up calendar. Yeah, I replied as I came over and sat on the floor next to the white-haired woman. I was just on the phone with Meyer. The kids next door mentioned their parents are thinking about moving, so we might buy the place next door.
Really?
My wife asked and perked up a little.
That is a very pretty house.
It looks nice on the outside, I agreed. But they do have three kids, two of them boys. There's probably going to be a little work we'll have to do.
I think expanding your holding is a very good idea,
Ibsith said in a sage tone as she sat up.
A man such as you should have many wives, and we will need the space for them and all the children they will bear you.
I'm more concerned about the happiness of the wife I've got now, I chuckled. Speaking of which, I might have found a way for us to get legally married, and maybe get some paperwork for Amrila, too. Where is she, by the way?
She is taking a nap in her room.
Ibsith purred and then moved in close and leaned against me as we listened to the opening bars of Jolene.
I still don't understand why you put so much stock in that hard piece of plastic with your picture on it.
My driver's license? I snorted. It's a pretty big deal, believe it or not. And getting a similar ID for you and Amrila will help keep Brock Stanton off our backs.
You are so sweet and kind.
The white-haired woman sighed and gently touched my face.
To be so concerned for me. I have never heard of a husband who puts his wife before himself.
As she leaned against me, I looked down at her heart-shaped face, and I saw her violet eyes were hooded with desire. There was no mistaking what the voluptuous elven woman wanted in that moment, and my eyes traveled down the curve of her neck and to her full breasts that gently rose and fell as she breathed. The little pink sundress she was wearing showed off a great deal of cleavage, and the white lace of her bra was just peeking over the edge of her dress. I could feel the rush of blood to my core as I thought about what was under that dress, and then my hands wrapped around my wife's small ribcage and settled just under the heft of her ample breasts. Your happiness means everything to me, I whispered into her ear. My breath on Ibsith's ear caused the petite woman to shudder a little,
and I watched the goosebumps prickle the exposed skin of her neck and chest.
Oh, Eddie.
The night elf woman murmured as she ran her fingers along my cheek and up into my hair. You're sure Amrila's asleep in her room? I rumbled before I began to kiss the velvety skin of Ibsith's neck.
If she isn't, let her come and see what she is missing.
The blue-skinned woman breathed as she began to stretch and squirm from the sensation of my lips on her skin. Then Ibsith pulled herself away from me and turned so we were facing each other. Her pouty lips parted slightly as her hands took hold of the shoulder straps of her little dress, and she slowly pulled the garment down to reveal the tight, white lace bra she was wearing underneath. God damn, I growled. You're so fucking beautiful. I moved toward her there on the floor of the living room, and we were both kneeling in front of each other as I pulled her dress the rest of the way down her round hips and ass. Ibsith ran the fingers of both hands through my hair, laced her fingers behind my head, and pulled my face toward her. Our lips met in a warm, wet collision of tongues, and my erection surged under the restrictive fabric of my jeans.
I want to feel you inside me, my king.
Ibsith purred between kisses.
I want to be filled with the hardness of your manhood and know that I am yours.
I'll fill you up, baby. I promised as I unhooked her lace bra with a swift snap of my fingers and freed her huge breasts from their restraints. But I'm gonna kiss and lick you until you come first. The white-haired woman moaned as I leaned down, took one of her sweet, plum-colored nipples in my mouth, and ran my tongue up and down its delicious tip.
Ah, the mound of my womanhood is already so wet for you.
I licked and sucked on the elven woman's nipples while I gave equal attention to both her amazing breasts. But then Ibsith grabbed one of my hands and guided it to the moist fabric of the lacy thong between her legs. I began to gently stroke her pussy through the wet lace, and the blue-skinned woman writhed and reached out to take hold of the button on my jeans. I want you so bad. I growled as I lifted my face and looked deep into Ibsith's violet eyes.
Then take me, my king.
My wife moaned.
Ravage me, conquer me, then give me your precious seed.
Ibsith undid my button and fly, and my throbbing, hard dick came free. I almost sighed with relief, but then my wife wrapped a soft hand around my shaft and began to stroke up and down its length. Fuck. I groaned and threw back my head. You're so good at that.
I live to give you pleasure.
The white-haired woman breathed.
Now please, make me come so that I may have you inside of me.
I ripped off Ibsith's panties and laid her on the floor in one movement, and I peeled off my shirt and looked down at her naked, curvy body. Then I took hold of both of the elven woman's thighs and squeezed the soft, smooth skin as I lowered my face toward her tight pussy. Are you ready for me? I teased as my face hovered less than an inch away from her clit.
Yes!
Ibsith moaned in the agony of her anticipation.
Lick me. Use your mouth to make me squirt, my love.
You're really trying to wake Amrila, aren't you? I accused playfully, but when my wife bit her lip and looked down at me with mischief in her violet eyes, I realized I'd hit the nail on the head. And fuck, did it make me harder. With my hand still firmly on the elven woman's thighs, I gently flicked the soft folds of her pussy with my tongue, and her back arched in response. Ibsith mewled.
Please, lover, do not be so cruel. Let me feel the warmth of your mouth.
I don't know. You've been a little naughty. I rumbled as I blew a breath over her swollen clit. Then I looked up the length of my wife's body, and I could see her heavy breasts heaving and the look of naked desire on her face. My erection throbbed between my legs, and all I wanted to do was insert myself inside Ibsith's tight, slick pussy. I knew just how good she would feel, how her hips would buck against mine, but I waited. I would hold off my own gratification until I made my wife come at least once before I gave in to my own desires. But I was done teasing her for now, so I lowered my face again, and this time I sucked and licked Ibsith's sweet juices from her clit and tiny hole. Then I pushed my tongue inside her while I teased her little clit with my finger. Ibsith keened as I curled my tongue between her spasming walls.
Yes, I'm going to...
Ibsith bucked and came hard as a warm gush of juices flooded my mouth. Fuck,
You taste incredible. I growled as I pulled away and licked my lips. My wife laid sprawled out before me, while she panted for breath, and her cheeks were flushed a dark purple as she looked up at me through glassy eyes. A thin layer of sweat glinted on the smooth, taut skin of her breasts and toned stomach, and I officially couldn't wait any longer. I pulled my jeans and boxers the rest of the way off as I kissed my way up her body, and I lingered for only a moment when I reached her breasts again.
Wait!
Ipsith suddenly gasped, and she put her hands on my shoulders and gently pushed me onto my back. Is everything okay? I asked as I immediately froze.
Yes.
The elven woman purred as she straddled me and lowered herself onto my rock-hard erection.
But I want to ride you, pleasure you, until you release your gift inside me.
I groaned as Ipsith began to move her hips back and forth and slowly slid up and down my cock. Fuck, you're so tight. As the blue-skinned woman continued to move up and down, I let my hands slide up her thighs, her smooth, flat stomach, and then I wrapped them around her round breasts. Ipsith moaned, and she threw her head back in pleasure, while my thumbs caressed both her nipples.
I love how you fill me up.
The tension in my core quickly started to build, and we moved against each other in hard, grinding movements. The bucking of the elven woman's hips became more urgent as I started to thrust up harder into her, and heat began to pool at the base of my cock. My wife practically screamed as her eyes rolled back into her head.
Oh, Eddie, my king! Oh, yes!
Our movements became faster and more frantic. Fuck, the sight of Ibsith's perfect body bouncing on top of me was driving me insane, and her tight pussy fit like a glove around my cock. Fuck, I'm close. I snarled and slapped one hand against her jiggling ass cheeks. Come for me, Ipsith.
Yes!
She whimpered as she slammed down on my shaft, and I could feel as her cunt tightened and contracted as she came once again. Shit! I clenched my eyes shut and gritted my teeth, but the sensation of my wife orgasming on my cock threw me over the edge. I bottomed out inside of her as the blood roared through my ears, and my cock jerked deep inside of her as I filled her with a sudden spurt of hot seed. Ipsith whined as she continued to grind her hips and figure eights over me, and we shuddered through our climaxes together before she collapsed in a sweaty heap on my chest. The movement jostled my softening cock inside of her, and we both groaned as some of our combined fluids slipped out and pooled on my pelvis. Then we just laid there panting and tangled up around each other for a few perfect moments in the afterglow of our orgasms.
You two are really good at that.
I heard Amrila's voice say from somewhere just behind me. I startled, and then I craned my head around to see the horned woman sitting on the couch munching away on a bowl of cereal in her hand. Sorry about... I blushed slightly and was suddenly aware of my nakedness. I wasn't a prude by any means, but having someone watch me fuck was definitely a new experience for me. Ipsith was less shy. The elven woman raised herself up while still straddling me with my dick still in her, and she gave Amrila a very direct look.
You should try it sometime,
the blue-skinned woman said and smiled, like her large, bare breasts weren't on full display.
I just might.
The Zinkari woman grinned back before both women burst into a fit of giggles. Later, after everyone was dressed again, I sat down on one of the folding lawn chairs in the backyard with a beer in one hand, and I watched as the sun set over the western horizon. I could hear Ipsith and Amrila talking in the kitchen as the elven woman finished up the dinner dishes. They were excited because the new episode of their favorite fantasy show had dropped, and they were getting ready to watch it. I closed my eyes and took a moment to savor the day. My women were happy. The evening was warm, and there was a soft breeze. Secretly, in that moment, I really did feel like the king Ipsith saw me as. Suddenly, I remembered there was still something I wanted to take care of, so I pulled out my phone and sipped on my beer as I looked up Owen McElfrish's number. I wasn't used to making shady deals, but Meyer had hinted that McElfrish could help me get some fake identities for the ladies. It would be one less thing to worry about, especially after the comments that Brock had made about mail-order brides. I hit the call button and listened to the line ring for a moment, and a little knot of tension curled around in my stomach at the thought of just how illegal what I was about to do was.
Is this Owen?
McElfresh answered in his thick Irish brogue. Hi, I said, and I sat up a little straighter for some reason. This is Eddie Hill. I sold you some gold about a week or so ago.
Oh,
the businessman replied in a friendly tone.
Of course, I remember you. Were you looking to sell something else?
No, I hedged as I tried to think about how to approach the topic. I was wondering about a possible service you might be able to provide.
Well, you'll have to be more specific.
Owen laughed lightly.
I have a lot of business ventures, and if I can't do it, I probably know someone who can. What did you need?
I stammered, but then decided to just come out with it. I was led to believe you might know how to get someone an ID. I let the sentence kinda hang out there and waited for the jewelry store owner's reply.
You mean, if you're not wanting to wait in line at the DMV?
Owen asked slowly. Kinda, yeah, I said as I took another sip of beer.
It's not the sort of thing one should discuss over the phone,
McElfresh drawled.
But if you're up for a drink later tonight, maybe we can talk about it further. I know a nice place in Elyria, and by nice I mean it's a total snake pit. You'll love it.
Owen seemed like a real sketchy guy, but I had to admit he was charming. Okay, that sounds good, I said, and the tension in my stomach turned into a mix of excitement and foreboding.
I'll text you the address. Is 10 o'clock too late for you?
Nah, I shook my head. That's fine with me.
Great, I'll see you then.
Then Owen hung up the phone. It was only a second later that my text alert chimed, and I saw a message from Owen with the address of some place called The Last Call. I'd never spent much time in Elyria, which was a suburb of Cleveland, but from the online reviews, it seemed like exactly the kind of place someone would go to buy a fake identity. I went back into the house and saw Ibsith and Amrila were curled up on the couch together, like two kittens, while they watched their show with rapt attention. It must have been a good part, and I didn't want to interrupt, but I needed to tell them my plans for the evening. Hey, ladies! I cleared my throat and they both looked up. The elven woman's eyes were inquisitive, but the horned woman looked a little annoyed at the interruption and paused the TV.
The good-looking warrior was about to kill the annoying bard.
Amrila complained, but there was a smile playing at the corners of her curved mouth.
I don't think he'll actually kill the bard.
Ibsith disagreed.
They are friends. The tall warrior is just joking. I'd kill him.
The red-skinned woman replied with a firm nod.
That song about the coin is fucking annoying. Yes, my dear, I know you would,
the elven woman said as she sweetly patted the horned woman's leg, but then my wife turned back to me and smiled.
What did you need, my beloved?
I just wanted to let you know I have to go out tonight, I said with a chuckle. I spoke to the guy who might be able to help get you both identities for the surface world, and if he comes through, then we'll have a lot less to worry about from Stanton.
Brock Stanton,
Amrila snorted.
May his bed be infested with blood-sucking vermin.
Do either of you need anything while I'm out?
No.
Amrila shook her strawberry blonde head.
If you happen by a market,
Ibsith replied,
we are running low on eggs.
All right. I smiled at the beautiful woman on my couch. I'll be back before long. I'll lock the doors, and in case the alarm sounds while I'm gone, the old AK and the Galil are in the bedroom closet.
I will keep our princess safe,
Amrila vowed as she turned back to the TV.
Be safe, Eddie.
Thanks. I leaned down and kissed Ibsith. Then I got my shoes on and took the truck to Elyria. I was on my way to see a man about some fake IDs.